This epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Philippian church, it is one of his prison epistles. He was in jail when he wrote the words. It is looked upon largely as the tenderest of all of his epistles. You will remember that in various occasions we have spoken about the church at Corinth and the great need that they had. There was a lot of issues there that needed to be dealt with, and the Apostle Paul, in love, had to rebuke and to strongly exhort in certain ways for the benefit of the people there. In fact, he gave solemn warnings to the church there. But as he is writing here to the church at Philippi, woven into the chapters, the four chapters of the book, there is constantly good cheer and joy and peace as well. In fact, this book to the Philippians is known as the Epistle of Joy. It teaches all of us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the divine source, the divine center, and the divine power of a consistent Christian life. And that's important for me and important for you as well. Philippi was a town of Macedonia. It was about 8 or 9 miles from the coast, and its earliest name was Fountain City. It was enlarged by Philip, king of Macedonia, and hence it was called Philippi after his name. Paul had been involved at the very commencement of the Lord's work here in this place. And some years, that was some years, of course, before writing the epistle. And you know, as I thought of the epistle to the Philippian church, and what the Bible has to say in Acts chapter 16 regarding that area, and I thought of the summertime when a lot of people go off on holidays and there's no Sabbath school and the midweek children's meetings closed for a while. And generally speaking, things in the Christian church are quieter over the summertime. As I thought about that, and then yesterday I was up at Antrim at Shane's Castle. I don't know if any of you were there or not at the Game and Country Fair. And there were three gentlemen there who were doing a great work, giving out gospel tracts. They had a trailer, and actually at one end of it they had a little grey Massey Ferguson, a really nice one, and at the other end they had a Volkswagen Beetle, an old one, and they had this all around. It was a very bright and attractive stand that they had. But they were there with the word of God, and they were giving out tracts to people. And while it seemed that a goodly number of the people that I could see were accepting the literature, really when you look around you, you wonder what kind of an impact can the Christian church have? What kind of an impact can the Christian church really have? When it comes to a quieter time in our congregations, it seems to us sometimes, well, we're glad of the rest, but we can't wait to September and everything gets going again. They were reaching out to the men and women and boys and girls in various ways. And as I thought about that and thought about this, I thought about Matthew 16 in the verse 18, where the Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And as I think of Philippi, and we've read about it here this morning a little bit, and when I think about what we read about it over there in Acts chapter 16, then I think we have Matthew 16, verse 18, realized. And that is the title of the sermon this morning. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, realized. And as I draw your attention to this, I trust that you will be encouraged, even over the quiet time in the summer, to pray on and to ask the Lord to help all of us to resolve to be at our best for him. And whenever the work all commences again in a few weeks' time, that we will be up and doing for him. So we're looking here at Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, realized there are three things that are evident. The first one is communication. When I say communication, I'm referring here to the speaking of the Spirit. You might turn to Acts chapter 16 if you wish to in your Bible. Now, Paul here and his associates had been ministering the word in the province of Galatia. And the crusade that they had embarked upon was blessed of the Lord. In the Lord's providence, he was pleased to use their ministry to establish witnesses. Verse 5, chapter 16 in the book of Acts. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. And if you look there again in verse 6, it says, now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. These men were on the march. What they were really seeking to do here, God was using their ministry in a special way, and they were seeking to blaze a trail for him. These men were walking with God. They weren't loafers. They were not playing at religion, but they were real about what they were doing. And they were Spirit-filled men. But the point that we're looking at here is communication. And that is the speaking of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 6 and 7. You will see that sometimes in his providence, he restrains. He restrains. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They were forbidden to preach. Sometimes that may seem a little bit strange to you and I, but we must remember this, that while we often look to God's word to direct our steps, God also directs our stops. And so it was with Paul and his comrades. Human reasoning, it may make us feel that we should push on in a particular direction. It may seem a natural thing to do. But God did not lead these men at that time in this way. And so for the Apostle Paul at this time, and it's important for us to know as is as important as go. And he comes along to these men who are full of the joy of the Lord, they've suffered great fruit for their labor. They want to reach others as well. And he said to them, no. You see, Paul wasn't just fumbling along. He was a Spirit-directed man. And the Lord at this time shut the door for them. And he restrained them from going in that direction. And brethren and sisters, while we're always glad to see open doors, we always want to be praying so that when that door opens, we can say, well, I've been praying particularly for this, and the Lord has directed in that way. Sometimes we would love to see a door open, and it doesn't open. Well, what we really want to do, if we've been in communion with the Lord, and we've been seeking his face, we want to take a step back and thank the Lord for that. Might open some other time. But I'm sure, in some degree, it was a time of, well, there may have been a little bit of frustration there, or even confusion, remembering that these are just men. They're good men, but they are just men. But they didn't pack their bags and say, well, I'm going to go away and become a carpenter, or I'm going to do something else. That wasn't the type of these men. But these men, rather, they were first of all restrained, but then they were redirected. If you look at verse 8, it says, and they passing by Mysia come down to Troas. Troas is where the turning point came. Where all of that which perhaps seemed confusing and frustrating, where it all was made plain to them. And the Lord now is directing them to a different area. You will see there as you read on down, and a vision appeared to the Lord. That's the way the Lord in those days often communicated his word and his will to his people. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, if you look there with me, please, just back a few pages to the book of Acts in chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Thinking here of Philip, this is just an example of how things the Lord can, in a very real way, redirect people. Now, you know that things had been going very well, and many had turned to the Savior here, and it says in verse 26 of Acts 8, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert." In other words, leave revival and go out into a barren place. He needed to be in communication with the Lord. He needed to be in touch with the Lord to obey that, but he did it. It says then in verse 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot." That is the Ethiopian eunuch, the man who had been seeking the Lord. Philip was there in the right place at the right time because God had taken him and he redirected him. And that's exactly what he was doing with the Apostle Paul and Silas, and he was redirecting them as well. So a missionary one time called Adoniram Judston, and after a lot of preparation, he set out to go to serve the Lord in some particular part of the land of India. And as he was on his way to India, he stopped at a mission station. And there the Lord redirected him. And the place that the Lord directed him to was Burma. And he spent his life's work there, his life working there in Burma. Now, the Lord sometimes, brethren and sisters, may lead to a more bleak place or a more difficult situation. And as Christians, just because it is difficult in reaching out does not mean we don't do it. We don't want to be in that camp. We don't want to be in that camp. Speaking to them men yesterday, there was one of them, his daughter is a Free Presbyterian, and there was another man there as well around his age, and then there's a younger fellow as well, doing what they can, but they didn't expect it to be easy. They knew that there would be lots of people in that game and country fair who just had no interest in what they had to offer. And so it is for you and I. More and more. And we see people getting alarmed in other religious establishments in the Republic of Ireland and even in the mainland, becoming alarmed at increasing secularism and increasing humanistic thinking. And more the relevance of the Word of God being set aside. So it's becoming more difficult. But that doesn't mean you give up and cruise along. Paul and Silas were not that kind of men. They were men of great Christian character, and the Lord restrained them. That's why we need to be in touch. We can easily get it all wrong and then look back after 6 months or a year and think, well, what did they do that for? I got it all wrong, and I sought to push on and go my own way other than follow the Lord's direction. But there was the redirection here, but also there was the recognizing. God spoke here in a vision to the Apostle Paul. And I have no doubt that he was a man who had to be in tune with God in order to recognize this is not just because the door has closed in Bithynia and it hasn't opened up the way I wanted to. Here's somewhere, this will do. No, he wasn't that sort of man. He recognized that it was God's direction. And you and I, brothers and sisters, and I say this again to young people, please look for this through your life. Look for God's direction and recognize his voice above other voices. One thing that can be a wee bit puzzling is if someone says, well, you know, I just feel that the Lord has called me to be a missionary, and they would never be hardly in the meetings or in the prayer meeting or involved in the work in any way. Well, you have to think, well, you know, maybe the best place to start is home and show that you're working for doing something for the Lord. There are certain things in recognizing, and we could spend a lot longer in this morning than we've time to do, that is the recognizing the voice of the Lord. There are the precepts, and one of them is to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. The verse before it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, or a living slain sacrifice, dead to self. And to take our lives and hand it over to the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul had done. That's what every Christian does, or ideally would do. So if we want to know the Lord speaking to us, directing us, our lives must be handed over to him. We must be praying, men and women. Psalm 25 in the verse 4, show me thy ways and teach me thy paths. So if I don't pray and I don't yield my life to Christ, I can't suddenly have a notion, well, the Lord's leading me in this direction. Well, maybe it's not him at all. So there are the precepts and the praying, and there are certain pitfalls to avoid. One of the things is an unwillingness to think. God has given us our mind to think. Now, we don't base everything on cold reason, but he's given us our minds to think in a sensible way regarding these things. An unwillingness to think, an unwillingness to take advice from somebody who knows. An unwillingness to suspect self. And an unwillingness to trust God and wait. And if you want to know where I got those thoughts, it was Reverend Ron Johnson when I was in the college. Things that we need to have in our lives if we are to avoid the pitfalls. An unwillingness. An unwillingness to think, well, then we're in trouble. An unwillingness to take advice. An unwillingness to suspect self. An unwillingness to trust God and wait. We live in a day of here and now, and I want it yesterday. And this is what I want to do, so therefore somehow I'm going to feel this is the Lord leading. That is not the way that the Apostle Paul was led. These were men who'd given themselves to following the Lord's will, seeking his face continually. And when the door didn't open, I don't know, I'm imagining there was a little bit of frustration, but they marched on and they continued to seek the Lord, and he was continually in seek with the Lord. There's very, very important principles here, and it is regarding the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Remember, the thought here is communication. That was the thought that we gave at the very start here. And the Holy Spirit may give to you and I a real desire to do something, and God may open up in providence an opportunity. For all I know, I could be speaking to a future missionary here in the church. It could open up somewhere in providence. But I want to say this. A door had closed for the Apostle Paul, and that was God's guidance. That was God's guidance, because he led them then to Macedonia. And I want to say this as I bring this point to a close. The Holy Spirit never contradicts the teaching of the Word. Never contradicts the teaching of the Word. So therefore, Romans 12 and 1 and 2, giving ourselves, yielding our bodies to him, living slain to him, seeking his face, avoiding the pitfalls, all of those things that are shown us in the Word, they need to be in place. Because if we have some airy-fairy idea that God is leading in this direction, well, that's really all it is. It's not the leading of the Holy Spirit. It shows us, brethren and sisters, the importance of this matter. Remember what we're looking at here now. This here is a realizing of Matthew 16, verse 18. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. On a human level, Paul was a key man in Philippi. So there was here communication, but then there had to be the other thing that we look for is compassion. If you look there in verse 9, this is Acts 16, verse 9 and 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. This Macedonian call, well, it showed him at least that there was need there. And it shows us as well that Paul had a willingness to go on to help. He had a willingness to go and to help. Now, I want to say today that whoever you are, whatever age you are, there is a place for you in God's work. And there's something that God would have for you to do. It may be difficult and it may be a burden to carry, but he's worth it and worthy of it. And he may be opening up a door of service here for you in the church, but who knows? Who knows in the days to come what door he might open for others? But one thing that you and I must have, far above academic achievement or a winsome personality or any of those things, we must have a heart of compassion, a love for the souls of men and women, and a love for our brethren and sisters in the Lord, that we will be able to help them. You see, this place, Philippi, it was, it had a what was known as at that time great civilization and culture. But far more than that, Philippi needed what Christianity could supply, and that was the gospel. And that's what you and I have. You and I have the gospel for men and women. And there is need out there. But I want you to notice here, as we look at his immediate response. It says there in verse 10 that immediately, as far as Paul is concerned, following the Lord's will was something for now. Something for now. And I have said to you before in the congregation that when the Lord first spoke to me regarding going into full-time service, I was quite a quiet person. And it was certainly when it come to public speaking or anything, I wasn't interested in anything like that. And it just wasn't me, I felt. But and I wasn't. I didn't follow him immediately. And I'm not proud of it, but I didn't do it. The apostle here, it says here that he went immediately. And he was very, very convinced here, for it says, assuredly gathering. This really was another step of faith for him, relying totally on the Lord. It was also, there's also something practical here, because he endeavored to go. He endeavored to go. It's easy to get caught up in the emotion of a meeting, or when there are things happening in other countries and you think, oh, there's hundreds of people being saved and churches established, and we love to be involved in that. We go out and we plod for 5 years, we don't see anybody saved, and things are very, very difficult. That's the reality of the work most of the time. So here he was willing to get up and to go, and it was a purposeful going. He was going there to preach. So his response was a very good one, but we have to say that overall, Paul went with a burden to a divinely chosen place. And there was a great welcoming party for him. No, there wasn't. There wasn't any welcoming party for him at all. If you look there in verse 12, it says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were there in that city abiding certain days. It's as though they were there and no one had noticed. Don't be surprised, Christian, if you're not noticed. And if what you seek to do very often isn't noticed. But you'll notice here in verse 12 that he's still seeking guidance from the Lord. There's a big change from what he left. But he was dead sure that he should be there. So there was that compassion, and we could take the example of the Lord Jesus when he wept over Jerusalem and said how he would gather them as a hen gathers her chickens, and they would not, they didn't want anything to do with him. And he, of course, is the great example of compassion. And folks, you and I need to have compassionate hearts. We know that when we say that the world is waiting, they're waiting in the sense that they need the gospel, not particularly that they want me to come or you, but they need it. And we must have a heart of compassion that can overlook prejudice or their what we don't like about them. And we can overlook all of that and look away to the Lord to give us the opportunity to serve him among them the very best that we can. This was a place where the devil had a hold in Philippi. Remember what we're looking at. We're looking at Matthew 16, verse 18, realized, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now he has his man on the march. The Lord is directing him all along the path, and he wants to go this way and it doesn't work, and the other way and that doesn't work either. But the Lord opened up another door, and this is the way to go. He's come to the city now, and he's been there certain days, and it seems that very little has happened. So we have here the compassion of the Apostle Paul, and before that we had the communication, God the Holy Spirit directing him, but now we have then the conquering. The ministry begins in the building of the church here in Philippi. You will see as you look down there, and we're just going to be really skipping over what we're saying, that there was a lady there who was religious, businesswoman from Asia. That is the place where Paul, remember, had been forbidden to go to. Well, she's here. And the Lord now opened her heart. Her name is Lydia, verse 14. And the Lord opened her heart. And where it says the Lord opened her heart, it means completely opened in such a way that she's able to discern truth. And she attended unto the things that were spoken by Paul. And for even for the Apostle Paul, I have to say, to come along and to be interested in speaking to them, pride and prejudice had to be broken through, and it was. He went down there to meet this lady who'd come from a place where he'd been forbidden to go to, and the Lord opened her eyes, but more than that, he opened her heart. And her, Lydia, and her family were foundation members there at Philippi. See, the work is starting now, the building of the church here at Philippi. You see, Paul was a great preacher. He couldn't open her heart. And I can't open anybody's heart, and neither can you. But of course, we can pray that God will do that. It says that she attended unto the things that were spoken. The word attended there means to hold toward something. You know, if someone here in Northern Ireland gives a speech at some rally and it's full of propaganda, people will hold towards it. They take it all in and it will stir up their hearts and they'll be filled up with whatever sort of thoughts there are. It might not be good thoughts, but they'll be filled with them anyway, because they're holding to words that which has been said. Well, that's what she did here. Whenever the apostle preached, when the Lord had opened her heart, she held to word what he said. This was the foundation there of the church. Go on ahead a little bit further. Lydia and her family had been converted, and you come now on down to a young lady. It says there in verse 16 that she was possessed with a spirit of divination, and she brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She was really a clairvoyant who was there to hinder, at this time, was there to hinder the gospel. But it says there in verse 17, you want to be very careful with this. It says in verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And you might think, well, isn't that good? At a first glance, it appears that she's aiding Christ's witnesses here. But actually, it is the devil's strategy to associate her with God's servants. And when that happens in the mind of the people, their witness will be crippled. See, you have to watch. She would have been the wrong type of person to be there. The influence for God would have been thwarted. And the plot was intended to defeat the gospel. It could have been a moment of great peril here in the foundation of the start of the building of the church in Philippi. And it can be in the life of any church. And what you're trying to do, and what you're trying to see accomplished for the Lord. This person come and they were just going to be nothing but overall serious trouble. But Paul, as someone said, refused the patronage of hell. If you look there in verse 18, it says, this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And I come out of her the same day. Let's beware, brethren and sisters, of alliance with anything that speaks part truth, because it seemed that she was partly with them. These are the men that speak unto us the way of salvation. How we need perception, and how this situation could have been a great stumbling block. But the Lord gave them great favor, unable to hinder the gospel through an attempted alliance. Satan now attacks with great opposition, and sometimes that's what happens. There seems to be, like there was with Nehemiah, come down into the plain of Ono, and we'll have some fellowship together there. And Nehemiah said, we're doing a great work, and we cannot come down. There was mischief in the hearts of those who issued the invitation. And the call today to God's people, and we're not alienated as Christians, as Free Presbyterians, we're not alienated, but we need to be careful, because the call to alliance is something we want to examine very carefully, because alliance can be a great hindrance in the work of that alliance is with the wrong people. But when alliance doesn't work, and history shows us to be the case, then there's open opposition. Her owners became angry and they brought charges in Acts 16, verses 19 to 21. And then we move on there and we look that when these men were in prison, the jailer and his family were saved. So what did they overcome, these men? What did they conquer? Well, they conquered religion, they conquered allegiance, and they conquered opposition. And these men were really in victory at this time, as far as the work of the Lord in Philippi was concerned. It wasn't always comfortable. And again, I said, Paul and his comrades, anywhere with him, had great burdens to bear. But so it is when the work is going on, and a new church here was born. And Paul writes to this church in the epistle, maybe 10 years or so after this has happened. And he writes to them about his love for them and how he thanks God upon every remembrance of them. And he writes to them the epistle of joy that we read about earlier on. Joy in the Lord. And folks, I know that today with many Christians there's fears and doubts. And sometimes there's a little bit of skeptical thinking and wondering. But remember this, Matthew 16:18 still stands. The Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Doesn't mean they won't try. But the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I trust that you'll take encouragement from that, and over the summer months, this next number of weeks, 2 months, that you pray very hard. You'll come to the prayer meetings if you can. And you pray that when the work all starts off again in the autumn time, that there will be those evident tokens that God is still building his church. We look back over the early part of the year, the Lord's done much for us. Many, many answers to prayer. But there's so much more to be done. And I trust that you will take encouragement from this. Take encouragement from what happened in Acts 16, that the Lord is still building his church. If you were to take the letter to the epistles, our letter to the Philippians as a whole, it shows us self-forgetfulness. That was hard. It shows us self-sacrifice. That was hard too. But it also shows us spiritual joy. And when there is that willing to lay our lives on the altar for him, even though we can't maybe feel it beforehand and can't understand that, if we will do that and genuinely put ourselves out as Paul did, then there will be joy. And there was joy in this church. Just read Acts 16 again. You see what they went to. There was a religious woman there. That was Lydia. That's all she had, just religion. There was this young girl who pretended she was behind, following after them. They show us the way of salvation. She was a very big danger. And then there was the opposition, thrown into jail. All of that, they conquered it all. They conquered it all. And I trust that the Lord will bless his word to your hearts this morning. And we'll all remember through the summertime that the Lord will build his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.